You're listening to The Aquatic Wetline, a tropical fish keeping podcast hosted by 23-year-old fish keeper Aqua Alex Cardinal. For 3 years, we provided you with quality tropical fish information, and we'll continue providing some information on freshwater and saltwater tropical fish. Let's dive down deep into the aquarium and chat fish. Live from his fish room is Aqua Alex. Aquatic Wetline is now live.
This is the Aquatic Wetline Tropical Fish Keeping Podcast, right here on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. We are the first most successful fish keeping podcast on Blog Talk Radio. If you do a Google search with our name, you will get over 4 pages worth of stuff. Aquatic Wetline was founded in 2013 to provide tropical fish keepers with freshwater and saltwater aquarium informal and interesting shows. Over the past 4 years, Aquatic Wetline has delivered some good shows that are well received worldwide. Aquatic Wetline is hosted by a 23-year-old fish keeper named Aqua Alex Cardinelli, who has a passion and love for freshwater and saltwater fish ever since he was born. Let Aqua Alex talk to you about fish and tank on. Hello, tropical fish keepers. I'm your host, Aqua Alex. Hope you're having a good Saturday and Saturday night. I hope you guys went out to your local fish store and bought some new fish or something new for your aquarium. That's what I did today. I went to pick up some new freshwater fish for my freshwater tank because I have a lot of catfish in my freshwater tank. I have a Cynodontis eruptus, a Cynodontis jaguar hybrid catfish, and I have a Bermanese upside down catfish, which is the one that is all black with white speckles. That's a very nice upside down catfish, and he'll grow to be about 8 to 12 inches. And of course, I have my Red Devil and Severum, and I rarely ever see them swim out. The Severum will swim out maybe in the morning and the afternoon at feeding time, but my Creamsicle Red Devil likes to hide in his cave. So anyway, today I decided to go to my local fish store, and I really didn't know what kind of fish I was looking for, but I knew I was going to get something. So anyway, I settled for a belly crawler pike cichlid, which is kind of a dwarf pike because it will not get past 7 inches. So that's good for me, which means I can keep him for his whole life in the tank that I have. And then also I got 3 juvenile spotted silver dollars to add some activity to my aquarium. So hopefully you guys got some new fish today or had some fun doing water changes or anything tropical fish related. You see, I want to start today's show on a high note because the topic I have today is going to be kind of tragic and sad for me. So I want to start the show off nice, and I want to start it off with something that is exciting. And I just shared the exciting news with you. I have a very interesting but tragic topic tonight. I say tragic because something happened to me in my fish keeping hobby that I will never forget. Now, I have been keeping tropical fish since the age of 12. In my 11 years of fish keeping, I have suffered through many aquarium and fish disasters. I want to tell you about my disasters so that you can learn from them and know what to do in case it happens to you. You know, us fish keepers are always scared of our fish tanks cracking, power outages, losing fish from storms, and massive fish losses. But with the right knowledge, we can help keep these situations positive. So here is what's on the agenda for today's show. I'm going to have a discussion on my aquarium disasters. I will discuss what happened, what I did wrong, what I could have done better, and what to do if you find yourself in that situation. I will discuss tips and information on what to do during a storm, such as a blizzard, hurricane, or tornado that might cause power outages. I will tell you how to keep your fish and aquatic life safe during a hurricane, tornado, flood, or blizzard. So we have an action-packed show, and I'm going to go ahead and get this episode started right now. To start the show, I'm going to take a trip back to October of 2011. In what was supposed to be fall, we got hit with cold weather and snow. Just a few days before Halloween, we had a big blizzard that dropped about a few feet of snow, not sure the exact amount. Us Massachusetts residents and citizens are going to remember that huge blizzard of 2011. I will never forget it because it was a very tragic blizzard that year. Nobody in Massachusetts had time to prepare for this storm because snow in October is unheard of, at least in my opinion. I will always remember October of 2011 for being one of my worst times as a fish keeper, and that's saying something because I have a positive mindset in the fish keeping hobby, and I actually love the fish hobby. And I remember 2011 as if it were yesterday. Now, I want to promise you this, my listeners to today's show. I haven't told many people about this tragedy, so this is the first time I'm going to mention it here on the air of Aquatic Wetline. So you're the first people to hear this. Now, before the actual tragedy, I'm going to talk about the suspense before the tragedy, and I'm going to talk about the events leading up to the tragedy. So back in July of 2011, I had just finished setting up a fish room in my basement. I had set up a 75-gallon aquarium and a couple of 20 gallons. By middle and late September that year, I had the fish I wanted in my aquariums, and I was loving the fish, and I was loving the tropical fish hobby. And I was really on a high note during that time. But then the month of October hits. At the beginning of October, I had purchased some expensive fish and new filters. Just my luck, right? I had gotten a green phantom pleco, a royal pleco, and an Indonesian datnoid. All fish were acclimated into my aquarium, and everything was going great. And then come towards the end of the month, I was planning on setting up a reef aquarium. But those plans would never happen, at least in 2011. Before the storm struck, I was very proud of my fish tanks, and I was on a high in the aquarium hobby. But then it all changed, and it was definitely not a good change. On the day of the storm, when the news told us that we possibly would be having a blizzard, I at first took it with a grain of salt and said, "Don't worry, we aren't getting much or any snow to my family." But then, boy, was I proven wrong. It began snowing and snowing more and more. It snowed all night into the next day, and I think it snowed more for the next day and a half. I don't remember. It was a clusterfuck of snow, to be honest. At the time of the storm, I was at my grandmother's house staying overnight. I stayed for the first night and then until 4 p.m. the second day. I then went home, fed the fish, and made sure that the heaters and filters and the air stones were working fine and plugged in correctly. The heaters were working double duty because the basement itself was cold, but when I walked into the fish room, it was hot and moist in there, so I was relieved. I figured the fish would be just fine during a blizzard. Then, of course, my luck, our whole entire street loses power. So in total, we were without power for guess how many days, folks? 4 whole days. That's basically a whole work week, minus Friday. So basically, almost a whole nother week, like I said. I was so nervous about my fish, I was literally walking back and forth like a lunatic, not knowing what to do. So I began heating some water on our very old gas stove and pouring them in my buckets. I drained the water and added the 74 to 80 degrees Fahrenheit water. That kept the warm water, or that kept the aquarium water warm for a little while. Now, at the time that we lost power, the tanks were heated well because the heaters were working. But of course, after the first day, the temperature went down. Anyway, after I replaced the colder water with the warm water, I noticed that there was no oxygen in the aquarium. So I was trying to figure out a way to get oxygen in the fish tank. I began mixing and moving the water with my hand to no avail. Then I contacted friends and family members to see if they had a generator or something that would run on gas. Nope, just my luck again. Not sure what to do, I took a drive to the local fish store to see that they were closed. That is when fear struck me. That is when I realized that I am fighting a battle I don't want to fight. I am fighting a war that I cannot win. Luckily, somehow, some way, all the fish survived the first night without power. So, come the next day, I called the local fish store, and practically, I was begging them to just take my fish and hold on to them until I got power back. I was literally on my hands and knees, no joke. But the local fish store had so many requests that they could no longer accept any other fish, as their quarantine room for new arrivals was full of other people's aquarium fish for hold. I was so distraught that I threw my cell phone down in anger and disgust. I had just used up my 10% remaining battery and my cell phone died with no power to recharge it. Ironically, that was the last time I saw most of my fish, sadly. So I made one final call to the local fish store for maybe like a last help, but the next day I didn't really have any help. I just had total sadness. So I woke up in the next morning to see that half of my fish had passed away. At this point, I lost it. I began cussing up a storm and getting emotionally sad because I actually loved my tropical fish as pets. Now, in 2011, I was about 17 or 18 at the time, so it was quite a while ago. I really don't even remember being that young then, but it's definitely one of the saddest years in my life. So I removed the deceased fish, and I went back to bed for a nap during that day. During the whole power outage, most of the time, all I did was eat junk food, sleep, drink soda, and pray that the others would live. The next day, I woke up to a god-awful smell downstairs, and I will never forget that that smell was probably the worst smell that I ever smelled, and then I knew everything was dead. Sure as shit, I went downstairs, everything in the 20 gallons was dead, just about everything except for the fancy plecos, and the Indonesian datnoid was dead. So somehow, some way, the plecos survived and the datnoid survived. At this point, I was destroyed. I never returned downstairs until 3 days after the power came back. I was an emotional wreck. I actually left the aquarium hobby for several months, only to return in March of 2012. So Here is what I lost during the 2011 Blizzard and Tower outage. Four Red Hook Sewer Dollars, Myelius from Rapinus. Two rare Wide Bar Sewer Dollars, Myelius from Berkey. Three Flagtail Prussian Lotus, Semi Prussian Lotus to Nearest. Five Clown Loaches, one Heroes Nodus Severum, one Chocolate Cichlid, both of my NTT Sinbar Datnoids, my Hacer Oriestis Catfish, which is a pretty damn rare South American catfish. These four catfish were the most expensive loss, $350 for all four. Now, Hacer Oriestis Catfish are also called Black Tip Mouse Catfish. They're a very cute but rare catfish, and I haven't found any of them since then, but if I ever run into a Hacer Oriestis catfish again, I will definitely be getting another school of them because they are a beautiful catfish from South America. And if anyone knows me as a fish keeper, they know that I have a love for catfish. Also, I lost numerous ferocious Corydoras cats from the 20-gallon tanks, and brocious cory cats are a species of Corydoras that get to be about 3 or 4 inches in length. So they're one of the larger species of Corydoras cats. And I also lost numerous convicts and numerous black skirt tetras and danios, which served as dither fish for the convicts in the 20-gallon aquariums. So I was trying to breed convicts at that time. They bred once a month before the blizzard, and unfortunately that'd be the only time that they bred. So altogether, I would probably guess the total losses probably combined to about $1,500 or a little bit less. But it was pretty damn steep, right? A whole bunch of fish died, and I lost a whole bunch of money due to one storm. Now, thank God I did not set up that reef tank I was planning to, or it would have easily been $2,000 to $3,000 that I would have lost in 2011. So if there's one thing that I am proud of and I take a lot of joy in since the big 2011 disaster, I am glad I did not let this ruin my aquarium hobby. It was a very harsh lesson, but a lesson I learned. I've been in the aquarium hobby since March of 2012, and I don't plan on leaving anytime soon. And before that, I was in the aquarium hobby back when I was 12 years old. So I have been a fish keeper for 11 years, and I can say that in 2012, I found my love and passion for the fish keeping hobby after this terrible tragedy. So here is what I did wrong in 2011. First thing I did wrong is I overstocked my aquariums. This works against you during a power outage because the more fish there is, there's going to be less oxygen, and the more fish there is, there's going to be more waste in your aquarium, and that led to high ammonia levels spiking very quickly. Now, I know if I ever have a power outage again, I know to separate the fish into separate aquariums. The next thing I did wrong was I was not prepared. I did not plan things out, and I did not prepare myself for the storm. Had I done that, I would have brought the fish to the local fish store before the storm, and they would have lived, or I would have seen if someone had fish tanks with power, who would be able to help me out and save my fish. And the last thing that I did wrong is that I did not have a generator at the time. So I should have bought one, but at the time I probably couldn't afford one, so I didn't have one. So that is what I did wrong for this tragedy. Here is what I should have done. I should have separated the fish. That way there's not too many in each tank, and that probably would have allowed for many of the other ones to survive. I should plan things around the storm That way I'll be prepared and I will not be unorganized and rushing because I didn't prepare myself. And as a cook, I should have known better. As a cook, we like to call getting our ingredients and things ready mise en place, but you could say mise en place for the fish keeping hobby too, for this exact scenario. And I should have found backup tanks, and I've also should have got a generator. All right, so that was my very first and most disastrous disaster and tragedy that I had in the aquarium hobby. So moving right along, I'm going to move to my second aquarium disaster and aquarium tragedy. This happened in about 2013 or 2014. It was around that time. And I had a 75-gallon water display tank. And in that tank, I had Oscars, I had Silver Dollars, I had Jack Dempsey and some Cynodontis catfish. And for those of you who don't know, Cynodontis are one of my favorite catfish species. So everything was good and fine. The fish were eating and the fish were all healthy. And one day I was on the computer and I was actually scheduling some shows for the Aquatic Wetline and the Chef Cornelli Cooking Show at the time. And I remember this like it was yesterday because when it happened, I thought, what the hell? This must be a dream. But anyway, I was on the computer typing out a show, and all of a sudden, I hear water dripping, drip, 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 drip. And I thought it was my mother in the sink in the kitchen doing the dishes, but then the drips got louder, loud drips. And then all of a sudden, I hear glass. And I turn around and look into my 75-gallon aquarium, and I see that my tank had sprung a leak. One of the seals had busted open, and then one of my big rocks that I had in there for caves had suddenly fallen and cracked the bottom of the aquarium. And literally, the 75-gallon exploded. There was water everywhere, and while I was trying to catch all the fish before they fell on the floor, another rock fell, cracking it some more. And I have to tell you, that was a very stressful moment for me because I've never, ever had that experience happen. And the funny thing is, the 75-gallon that exploded in 2013 was not that old. I think it was maybe about 2 or 3 years old at the time because I remember getting it from a local fish store that had a sale in February of that year. So anyway, I ended up getting all the fish, and I had my father and my brother Jimmy shoot them over to School of Fish Inc. to temporarily house them until I could actually afford another new tank. So off they went. And then in the meantime, I had to spend 3 whole hours using a shop vacuum to suck up all the 75 gallons of water. And literally I had to pick up the broken pieces of glass and throw them away. And thank God I did not cut my fingers on that. And then I actually had to carry the tank outside and throw it away. Well, I didn't throw it away. I just put it onto the side of our front lawn. And I put the stand there as well. And the next day it was gone. I think someone came and took it. Maybe they were going to try to replace it or do something with it. But I don't know who would want a tank that is cracked and broken like that. But maybe they could use a stand. But anyway, it was gone. And I was very, very nervous about why the tank cracked. Maybe my floor wouldn't support it. Or maybe there was too many rocks. Or something caused the seals to break. I'll never know why that tank busted on me, but I will know that I have learned that I will not put that many rocks in an aquarium unless it's a fish that needs a lot of rocks. So that's why I keep my freshwater tanks now pretty bare minimum, bare bottom and few rocks. That way I don't have to go through that again because that was a pure pain in the ass. I really don't know what I could say that I did wrong here because this was totally unexpected and definitely difficult to prepare for. But I would say I'd possibly recommend to others, don't put too many rocks in your aquarium, or try not to put rocks that are very heavy in your aquarium because they could do damage to your glass. And if they're heavy enough, they could actually break through your glass. And I think that's what happened, but I'm not 100% positive. But more than likely, that is what caused that tank to destroy itself, I'll say. But anyway, there was a good moral and a good ending to this story. About a month later, I was able to get another 75-gallon, and I took all of the fish back from School of Fish, and I had a nice 75-gallon aquarium again. That was a really good time there. And actually, this experience did not affect me like the 2011 one, because I thought it was kind of cool that my fish tank exploded. I don't know why I thought it was cool. It was just interesting, because that is something you don't see every day or hear about every day. But now I do hear from other people, and I consider them, I believe them, because it happened to me. But it's a very, very strange situation. I definitely would not wish it upon anyone because of all the work it takes to pick up after the explosion. So that's my story on that one. Before I get into my third story, I'd like to remind all the live listeners out there that you may call in at 1-347-989-8142 to share your aquarium disaster or aquarium tragedy stories. I'd love to hear from my audience, so feel free to call in 1-347-989-8142. Once again, that's 1-347-989-8142. All right, so I'm going to move on to my third disaster. So this third disaster is one that took place a year ago, but it was not as tragic as the storm, because with this one, I learned a lot and can now educate my mistakes so people don't do what I did. So in December of 2015, I had set up a 120-gallon saltwater fish only with live rock aquarium. I let it cycle the full month of January. February 2016, I went on a saltwater chopping spree. A blue and a snowflake eel. Had I known, as you would freshwater, which you should not do the freshwater as well, but I have done it before and I've had no problems. However, with saltwater, I rushed it too fast and I paid the price. In saltwater, you should only add one or two fish a month. And look how many fish I added to the 120. I lost some beautiful fish, like a naso tang, the blue hippo tang, the yellow-bellied dog face puffer, because I was not patient and I rushed into stuff. So all just a day or two after I had already added my old gold stripe maroon, yellow tang, and burst the trigger. So a day before I got the fish, I was planning to put the gold stripe maroon, the yellow tang, and my burst the trigger in the tank, but I waited for the new fish. Knowing what I know now, I'm saying to myself, why the fuck did I do that? Why? I really don't know why I did that. But I guess it was because I did it with freshwater and never had a problem. But my freshwater tanks were established for months before. It wasn't just something I did in the spur of the moment. Now, this saltwater tank had only cycled for a month, and I added way too much bio load too fast. I put some prime in the aquarium, but still, it did not help very much. The fish ate and did okay for a little while, but then I noticed some of the fish started scratching and scratching. Then they developed white spots all over their body. I bought medications to try and save, but to no avail. The fish slowly died one by one, by one, by one, almost all of them dead, except for the snowflake moray eel. And I've learned that snowflake eels and moray eels in general are a very hardy fish. That's why I like them. That's why I have one now. I love moray eels. What I thought was ick turned out to be a very deadly parasite known as marine velvet. Marine velvet is something even experienced marine fish keepers and reefers fear, because if not caught in time, it can be fatal. Velvet can be brought on by stress, bad water conditions, improper diets, etc. I believe my fish got velvet from stress, from being caught and netted at the fish store and being added to a 120-gallon aquarium, and the bad water conditions from not having an established tank. 1 month is not established. It's established for one or two fish like clownfish, but certainly not finicky fish like tangs and stuff. So that was my biggest mistake, and I'm glad that I learned that lesson, because I can educate newbies that are into the saltwater hobby and make sure that they don't make the same mistake and lose a lot of money. So I had lost about $300 or $400, if that, in fish. Sure, I was defeated. I was sad for a long time and depressed. Just ask my friend Jeremy Stellhorn. He had to hear me say, I quit, I give up a lot. But he always told me, don't you ever quit. You will nail it next time. This is a huge lesson for you. And that it was. So right here, right now, I would like to give Jeremy Stellhorn a shout out and a big thank you for motivating me to do better. And I have, and I am enjoying the success of my saltwater tanks from learning from my mistakes. And of course, your encouragement and support for me. So here is what I did wrong in 2016 with my 120 saltwater aquarium. I added way too many fish way too fast. So when you guys have a new saltwater tank that is less than 2 or 3 months old, you want to add one or two fish per month. I bought fish from multiple sources, and that generally is not a good idea unless you're going to quarantine them separately, because you might not know if one place has a disease, and then the other place might have a different disease that can make both fish very sick. I did not quarantine, and quarantine is very important in the saltwater hobby. You want to make sure that you get rid of any diseases that you have in the marine hobby so that it's enjoyable for you. Now, what I should have done, I should have only bought one or two fish. I should have bought the fish from the same source or quarantined them separately, and I should have quarantined the fish. So let this be a lesson to you saltwater beginners. Never ever, and I mean ever, add too many fish too fast within a month. Add one or two fish a month and let them settle in. So again, saltwater beginners, never ever, and I mean ever, add too many fish too fast. So otherwise you will succeed. All right, now let's get back to a positive note. What I do now and why I have a successful saltwater display tank. Here's what I do to make sure that I am successful now. I quarantine all purchases separately, making sure that they are healthy, eating, and active. I make sure the fish looks perfect at the store, because if it's not active or not good looking, I'm not going to risk it and I'm not going to buy it. I add 1 to 3 fish a month if I get any new additions. And generally, I very rarely get new saltwater fish. This month of March was the first time that I got some new saltwater fish since Christmas. So usually it's about a 3 to 6 months holding period that I get saltwater fish. And that's why I think I have success now, is because I'm not rushing into buying new fish all the time. So those are my three tragedies. Those are the ones that I figured would make a good topic on the aquatic wetline. And thank God, as of yet, I have yet to experience any more tragedies. We're expecting another storm on this coming Wednesday, so I am prepared this time. I will not let the storm take my beloved fish away this time. Even if I have to spend $500 on a generator, it's not going to happen because I love my saltwater fish now, and I also love my freshwater fish. And if I were to lose my dogface puffer, my Niger trigger, my Manila puffer, my gold striped maroon clowns, I would be devastated, absolutely devastated, because I love those fish. And if I were to lose my creamsicle, red devil, and the catfish and everything I have for the freshwater tank, I would absolutely be crushed as well. So let's hope and pray that we don't get any snow on Wednesday, and it's just hype and it passes us. All right, so enough tragedy and disaster talk. I am a positive guy. So let's get back to fun and happy fish chat. But right now, I think it's time for us to take our quick intermission right here on Aquatic Wetline. During this intermission, I'm going to play two songs that are symbolic with this topic. And then, of course, our quick announcements that are going to take place during our intermission. Coming up right after intermission, coming up next on the Aquatic Wetline, I will talk about what to do if a storm comes near your area or you get a power outage and how to save your fish. That's up next. But before I get into the intermission, I'd like to remind the listeners of Aquatic Wetline that I have an account on Patreon. Now, Patreon, or Patreon, I think it's called Patreon, I have an account on Patreon. Now, Patreon is basically a website where podcasters and creators have a site where they upload their content, and supporters can join them and donate money monthly or per release. So, for example, if I released an episode of the Aquatic Wetline and somebody decided to pay a few dollars, I'd get the few dollars per episode. So basically, it's a way for people to show support to small businesses, small podcasters who aren't the big name podcasters. These are guys like me. These are guys like William T. with his fish keeping show. These are guys like hobbyists for not only tropical fish keeping, but for other things in general, other podcasts in general. I think it's a very good thing to do. And the reason I have an account on Patreon is, the reason I have an account on Patreon is because I would like to have better audio quality on this show. And to do that, I would have to get a Blue Yeti microphone. And it is my goal to some point get a Blue Yeti microphone. And I would love nothing more if my audience would help me get a Blue Yeti microphone. So simply go to Patreon, I don't know why I keep saying Patreon. See, this is upsetting me. I'll get it down at some point. I'll get the pronunciation right. So please check me out at patreon.com/AquaAlexCardinelli. And I do apologize for the mispronunciation. Again, that's patreon.com/AquaAlexCardinelli. Boy, I better get that right for tomorrow's show. I'm really kicking myself at mispronouncing that. It's kind of embarrassing, actually, on a podcast. All right. I also want to remind you guys that you can email me at aquaticwetline@outlook.com with any tropical fish questions or comments that you have. Now, speaking of emailing me, as you guys know, I have the very first ever Aquatic Wetline Aquatic Trivia game coming to the Aquatic Wetline. I have one contestant confirmed for the show, and I am looking for my next 7 contestants. The first 7 people to email me will be the other 7 contestants. Now, in the email, you have to include your name, your career, your favorite fish, the fish you currently have, and where you live. And in the title, simply put AW Trivia. Come on, folks. It ain't going to take you that long to write an email and send it. Literally, it'll take you just about 3 or 4 minutes the most. And once you send the email, I receive it. I will send you a confirmation announcing that you are a part of the Aquatic Wetline's first ever aquatic trivia game. Now, there's going to be 2 prizes. The first place winner gets a big prize box from our sponsor, YourFishStuff.com, who is sponsoring this very first aquatic trivia game. And it's going to be worth $30 to $50, so you never know what you're going to get. But YourFishStuff.com offers quality homemade fish foods and equipment and even decor. So you might get a mixture of fish food, decor, and equipment. So it's going to be very beneficial for both freshwater and saltwater fish. And then the second prize, the second place winner, is going to get an aquatic wetline coffee mug, some fish food, candy, and other things. So those are the 2 prizes, and there's 2 awesome winners, and there's 7 contestants on the very first aquatic wetline trivia game. Simply send an email to aquaticwetline@outlook.com. Use the title AW Trivia, and then enter your name, your career, your favorite fish, the fish you are keeping, and your location. And that's it. And you're entered into the show. So what are you waiting for? During the intermission, why not email me and be a part of the historic, very first ever aquatic trivia game on podcasting on Blog Talk Radio, and probably the first in fish keeping in general. All right, let's get to your intermission right now.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna beat me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna beat me down. I get knocked down. hear the clock, it's 6 a.m. I feel so far from where I've been. I've got my eggs and my pancakes too. I've got the maple syrup, everything but you. I break the yolks and make a smiley face. I kinda like it in my brand new place. I wipe the spots up over me, don't leave the keys in the door. I never put a towel on the floor anymore, cause dreams last for so long, even after you're gone. I know you love me, and soon you will see you were meant for me, and I was meant for you. I called my mom and she was out for a walk, she sold a cup of but it didn't want to talk, so I picked up the paper. It was more bad news, my heart's been broken, my people been used. Put on my coat in the pouring rain, I saw a movie, it just wasn't the same, cause it was half the old, I was sad, and it made me miss you, oh, so sad, cause dreams last for so long.
Aquatic Wetline is brought to you by YourFishStuff.com. YourFishStuff.com provides hobbyists with quality homemade fish food and aquarium supplies. The YourFishStuff difference. Buy direct and save. Buy direct from YourFishStuff. No middleman, no food masses produced by large corporations, no food sitting around in warehouses. Just fresh, healthy food from your fish stuff to you. Quality ingredients like fish meal, shrimp, squid, kelp, spirulina, and chlorella algae. Doesn't cloud water. And all of their fish food is made fresh, crafted in small batches, hobbyist owned and operated. And all of their fish food is made right here in the good old U.S. of A. So check out YourFishStuff.com for quality fish food and aquarium equipment such as nets, filters, medications, and more. That's www.YourFishStuff.com, a proud sponsor of Aquatic Wetline.
March 25th, 2017. It's going to be a historic night for aquatic wetlines and for the tropical fish keeping hobby. I, Aqua Alexander Cardinelli, as the host of Aquatic Wetline, as a person and as a tropical fish keeper, am proud to announce that Aquatic Wetline is going to be hosting a Tropical Fish Keeping Hall of Fame podcast. This is going to be a show where I, Aqua Alex, and my audience pay tribute and respect to the legendary fish keepers who have paved the way for us to be fish keepers, and also for fish keepers who have a huge passion and enthusiasm for the tropical fish keeping hobby. And it all starts on March 25th, 2017, as the legendary Corridors breeder Lynn Massey takes her place into the Aquatic Wetline Hall of Fame. Sadly, the aquarium hobby and the fish world lost Lynn Massey in November as she passed away. But the legacy she left behind from Corridors breeding will never be forgotten. Lynn Massey will be inducted to the Aquatic Wetline Hall of Fame by her longtime friend, Rebecca Listrow. Rebecca will be here to induct Lynn Massey into the Hall of Fame live March 25th, 2017, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on Aquatic Wetline. Lynn Massey was a huge inspiration for the Aquatic Wetline to have guests, and she was fundamental on Aquatic Wetline's success. So please join me and Rebecca as we welcome the very first inductee to the Aquatic Wetline Hall of Fame, Class of 2017, Corridors breeder Lynn Massey, right here on Aquatic Wetline on March 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern, blogtalkradio.com/Aquatic Wetline.
Aquatic Wetline is looking for our first 8 contestants for Aquatic Wetline's Aquatic Trivia Fish Game. Do you want to be a part of the first fish keeping trivia game? It's simple. The first 8 fish keepers to send an email to aquaticwetline@outlook.com with the title AW Trivia will be the contestants. In your email, please describe yourself, your fish tanks, and your favorite fish, and the career and location you live. You will have to be available on April 15th from 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific, and you will be on the show for 1 hour to 2 hours. So, would you like to be on the very first Aquatic Wetline Aquatic Trivia Game, where the first prize is sponsored by YourFishStuff.com and the second prize is sponsored by Aquatic Wetline and Aqua Alex? So, there's a chance you can win a prize. So make sure you email AquaticWetline@outlook.com and become one of the 8 contestants.
Tropical fish keeping listeners, I invite you to join your fish keeping group called Tropical Fish Keepers of Aquatic Wetline. I invite you to post pictures of your tropical fish, post videos of your tropical fish, post links to your fish keeping YouTube channel, or just chat fish. One of the added benefits of this group is I'm going to do a Facebook Live fish video every Sunday, starting the first Sunday of March. So make sure you go and join Tropical Fish Keepers of Aquatic Wetline on Facebook. Not only to post pictures of your fish, chat fish, but to see me live on Facebook in a Facebook Live video every Sunday. So what are you waiting for? Go join right now. Tropical Fish Keepers of Aquatic Wetline on Facebook.
It's the ace that runs this place, the the crazy, impossible Alice Cardinelli, here to promote my network, Ace Network. On Ace Network, I have music shows that are brought to you by Jeremy Stonehorn of Blossom City Radio and Andrew Neal. I also have WWE wrestling shows with my co-host, James Cardinelli. I have cooking shows called Cooking and Bacon with the Fat Guy and much more. So make sure you check out Ace Network because I have controversial, entertaining, and all sorts of shows. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Ace Network with Alice Cardinelli. And you can also find Ace Network on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and TuneIn. You can look for Ace Network on Google.
Hey, this is the Aquatic Wetline, a tropical fish-keeping show brought to you by Aqua Alex in Springfield, Massachusetts. Let's get back to the tropical fish chat right now.
All right, tropical fish keepers, welcome back to the Aquatic Wetline on this fine Saturday evening. And before our intermission, I talked about my top three or four aquarium disasters. So if you're just tuning in now, don't worry. You can re-listen to the show when the show archives, and you'll be able to hear my aquarium disasters. But now, I want to talk to you guys about what to do if a power outage happens during a storm. That way, you guys will be prepared and you won't have any tragedies. So that's what we're going to talk about right now here on the show. So let's go ahead and get that topic started. So first, I want to talk to you about what you can do when you know a storm is coming and how to prepare yourself for a big storm like a tornado, hurricane, or blizzard. So here is what to do when you have a storm coming. Prepare yourself. Get your generator ready. If you do not have a generator, it would be in your best interest to get one, or at the very least, get something that runs on batteries. I forgot what it's called, but you get the picture. The reason you want a generator or something that's going to keep power with gas is because if the power goes out, you'll at least have something running your tank so that you won't worry about losing any of your fish. That is very important that you do that, just so that in case the power does go out, you're not stressing over if your fish are going to die or not. The next thing you want to do, if you want to come up with a worst comes to worst plan in advance so that you don't get stuck in the position I was in 2011, contact people who also have fish tanks or generators to see if they can help you. Contact your local fish stores. They may be willing to hold your fish until the storm's over. My local fish store held my fish when my crank tack cracked and discombobbled and destroyed itself. They held my fish for free for a couple of weeks. However, for a storm, it shouldn't need to be a couple of weeks, probably a couple of days to a week at most. And usually they won't charge you for that. Some stores will and some stores won't. But generally, as a fish keeper myself, if I had my own fish store, I would do it for my customers, not only as a common courtesy, but as a thank you for their support, for choosing my fish store and going into my business, trusting me with their fish. That would mean a lot to me. I would be honored, and it'd be my respect to do so. But I can see why some of the fish stores do charge. It's because they have to feed the fish, make sure the fish stay healthy in their environment, because the last thing that a fish store wants is for one of your fish to get sick and possibly die because then they have to replace it. So that's why some of them charge. All right, back to our main topic. The next thing you want to do is you want to do water changes. Keep the water clean. Keep it as clean as possible. Do about 30 or 40% water changes every day until a storm comes. Because should you lose power, the fish will stress and cause waste and create waste, which will raise ammonia. Do water changes, even if you don't lose power during a storm, to decrease the levels of ammonia in your aquarium. Also, you want to feed less. Don't overfeed, because the more food that goes in the aquarium, the more waste. We want to limit any waste in an aquarium when a storm is approaching, and we want to keep water clean in case power outages do occur. So feed less, maybe feed once a day instead of twice or once every other day to make sure that there is no waste going into the aquarium water. So those are what you can do to prepare yourselves for a storm when you know that a storm is coming. So, the power goes off. You say to yourself, oh no, what can I do? Well, have no fear, Aqua Alex is here. And that rhymes, ladies and gentlemen. What a good statement. So, right now we're going to talk about what to do should the power go out. I'm going to tell you what to do to make this stress-free, because we don't want you to have stress during this process. It ain't good for you, and it ain't good for your fish. So no matter where you live, you could be in Florida, Texas, Massachusetts, Alaska, you are eventually going to have a power outage. And how well your tank handles it, it'll depend on how prepared you are. Every aquarium owner needs to have a plan and a few necessary pieces of equipment on hand for dealing with power outage is. So before we talked about what to do when the power goes off, a few moments ago I told you how to prepare yourself for the storm. So you should be set if you follow my instructions on what to do if a storm comes. All right, now we're going to talk about a short-term power outage. Now, a short-term power outage would be anywhere from power out for from 4 hours to about 12 hours. That is what a short-term power outage would be. For me, in my opinion, power outages of less than an hour aren't going to have any effect in your aquarium, most likely. Even in very hot or cold weather, which is incidentally when most power outages occur, your oxygen levels or temperature should not change significantly if it's in the 4 hour or 12 hour mark. Sometimes, depending on the weather and the location of the room, it may be just 2 to 4 hours, but generally 4 to 12 hours is good for hardy fish. So, in fact, intervening to correct the temperature, etc., in a very short-term power outage may stress the fish more than the outage itself. So now we'll talk about long-term power outage. Now, long-term power outage can range anywhere from 13 hours to weeks. We'll just say that. That's a long-term power outage. Anything that's going to last for quite a long time. Depending on the size of your aquarium, the room temperature, and how densely your aquarium is stocked, a power outage can be considered long-term in as little as an hour if your tank is overstocked as mine were. But for most tanks, it is considered any disruption of power that lasts more than 3 hours. And like I said, in my opinion, it'll be 13 hours and more, because I've had fish survive more than 3 hours. If you have a large or expensive fish tank with a sensitive fish population, hint, hint, saltwater fish keepers or rare freshwater keepers, a portable generator is a very cheap investment. Having a generator wired into the circuit so it goes on when the power goes out is also a good idea if you're away from your fish tank for long periods of time. Now, here's the changes which occurred during a power outage. Oxygen depletion. One of the first things that happens when your power goes out is that the oxygen level in the fish tank begins to decrease. There are several things that speed the depletion of oxygen, including a heavy fish load, increasing temperature, feeding the fish, an increase in fish activity. Fish require oxygen, so if the tank is heavily stocked, moving some of the fish to a lightly stocked tank may help. If you have a heavily stocked fish tank and live in an area where power outages are quite common, a generator may be a wise purchase. Fish can go for days without eating, so avoid feeding fish in a power outage because it will increase their activity level and therefore increase the bacterial activity, causing an accelerated loss of oxygen. Try to decrease the activity in the tank by darkening it with a sheet, etc., unless you have a planted aquarium and not disturbing the occupants. Quiet resting fish use less oxygen than active fish. Consider having a battery-operated pump or airstone or two on hand. While it will not replace your current airstone and pump, it will add some oxygen back into the aquarium. Most well-insulated homes will maintain their temperature for several hours. Try to keep the temperature in the room as steady as possible. In cold weather, building a fire in the fireplace or draping a blanket over the tank to help insulate it may help. In severe cases, adding hot water or ice to the tank may be tried, but realize that in a large tank, the amount of water or hot water or ice that will need to be added to significantly alter the temperature may be unreasonably large. Also, the sudden change in temperature as you add the hot water or ice, even if it's only several degrees, may be more stressful for the fish than the gradual temperature change due to the outage. Long power outages in very hot weather can be particularly deadly to a reef tank if the owner does not have a generator. Here's what to do once the power comes back on. A moment where fish keepers can rejoice and not be stressed anymore. When the power is restored, be aware that the biological waste present in the tank and mechanical filtration pads may have started to broken down anaerobically, producing methane and hydrogen sulfide. These gases can be very toxic to fish. So try to remove and clean the filter pads before the power comes back on. If the power outage lasted more than several hours, realize that your fish will be very stressed. Monitor them closely without disturbing them as little as possible for the first few days. If you see signs of ick or other diseases developing, take appropriate treatment action. Monitor the water quality as well, and do not be afraid to do water changes to help get the water quality back to normal. While a power outage can be a disaster for aquarium owners, it does not have to be. By taking a few precautions and buying some basic emergency equipment, you can protect your tank from the potential dangers of your next power outage. So there you have it. You will never lose a fish again. Shall you follow this? In a power outage. All right, what a very fun show on a very fun and good Saturday evening. A lot of fun on today's show, and I certainly hope you guys had a lot of fun and enjoyed today's show as well. Aquatic Wetline is brought to you by YourFishStuff.com. YourFishStuff.com provides hobbyists with quality homemade fish food and aquarium supplies. The Your Fish Stuff difference. Buy direct and save. Buy direct from Your Fish Stuff. No middleman, no food masses produced by large corporations, no food sitting around in warehouses.
just fresh, healthy food from your fish stuff to you. Quality ingredients like fish meal, shrimp, squid, kelp, spirulina, and chlorella algae. Doesn't cloud water. And all of their fish food is made fresh, crafted in small batches, hobbyist owned and operated. And all of their fish food is made right here in the good old U.S. of A. So check out yourfishstuff.com for quality fish food and aquarium equipment such as nets, filters, medications, and more. That's www.yourfishstuff.com, a proud sponsor of Aquatic Wetline.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for tonight. I had a lot of fun hosting this show, and I certainly hope that you guys and gals and fish keepers enjoy today's show. I would like to thank you all for tuning into our show tonight. I hope that you learned a lot, and I hope that you will avoid having any aquarium disasters. I want to remind my listeners out there, shall you have any tropical fish keeping questions, please email me at aquaticwetline@outlook.com. I also want to remind people that tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Mountain, and 3 p.m. Pacific, tomorrow, Sunday, March 12th, I will be doing a Facebook Live video in my Facebook group that I own, Tropical Fish Keepers of Aquatic Wetline. So come join me there. I will have various tropical fish topics set up for you tomorrow. So make sure you go and join Facebook right now, Tropical Fish Keepers of Aquatic Wetline. I would also once again like to remind you to please check me out on patroning.com/AquaAliceCardinelli, so you can help me reach my dream of getting a Blue Yeti microphone so I can have better audio quality. Also, if you would like to be a part of our very first aquatic trivia game, please email me at aquaticwetline@outlook.com. And in your email, I would like for you to include your name, your career, your favorite fish, the fish you are currently keeping, and your location. That's all you got to do. And also in your title, please include AW Trivia. So once again, please email aquaticwetline@outlook.com and title AW Trivia. In the main body of your email, I want you to tell me about your career, your location, your favorite fish, and the fish you are currently keeping. And the first 7 people to email me will be on Aquatic Wetline Aquatic Trivia Game. So take a few minutes from your day, email me, and have the chance to win a $30 to $50 prize from yourfishstuff.com and an Aquatic Wetline first ever official coffee mug and more. One more announcement before I let you guys go and enjoy the rest of your Saturday night. I'd like to remind you that on March 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific, live right here on the Aquatic Wetline, I'll be debuting another new series called Aquatic Wetline Hall of Fame, and Corydoras breeder Lynn Masney will be joining us as the first inductee into the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, she's no longer with us, but she'll be there in spirit, and she will be the very first inductee into the AW Hall of Fame. With that being said, please tell your friends about today's show. Please share my show with your fish-keeping friends. Share it on your YouTube channel, and I will return the favor for anyone that does that. And tell your friends about it and share today's show on your social media account. I would very much appreciate that. So, fish keepers, thank you very much for tuning into your podcast. Aquatic Wetline is the fish keeping podcast. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your listen, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Until next time, this is Aqua Alex Cardinelli, broadcasting live from my fish room, right here in Springfield, Massachusetts, and I say good night and tank on.
March 25th, 2017. It's going to be a historic night for aquatic wetlines and for the tropical fish keeping hobby. I, Aqua Alexander Cardinelli, as the host of Aquatic Wetline, as a person and as a tropical fish keeper, am proud to announce that Aquatic Wetline is going to be hosting a Tropical Fish Keeping Hall of Fame podcast. This is going to be a show where I, Aqua Alex, and my audience pay tribute and respect to the legendary fish keepers who have paved the way for us to be fish keepers, and also for fish keepers who have a huge passion and enthusiasm for the tropical fish keeping hobby. And it all starts on March 25th, 2017, as the legendary Corydoras breeder Lynn Massey takes her place into the Aquatic Wetline Hall of Fame. Sadly, the aquarium hobby and the fish world lost Lynn Massey in November as she passed away. But the legacy she left behind from Corydoras breeding will never be forgotten. Lynn Massey will be inducted to the Aquatic Wetline Hall of Fame by her longtime friend, Rebecca Wistrow. Rebecca will be here to induct Lynn Massey into the Hall of Fame, live March 25th, 2017, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on Aquatic Wetline. Lynn Massey was a huge inspiration for the Aquatic Wetline to have guests, and she was fundamental on Aquatic Wetline's success. So please join me and Rebecca as we welcome the very first inductee to the Aquatic Wetline Hall of Fame, Class of 2017, Corydoras breeder Lynn Massey, right here on Aquatic Wetline on March 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern, blogtalkradio.com/Aquatic Wetline.
Aquatic Wetline is looking for our first 8 contestants for Aquatic Wetline's Aquatic Trivia Fish Game. Do you want to be a part of the first fish keeping trivia game? It's simple. The first 8 fish keepers to send an email to aquaticwetline@outlook.com with the title AW Trivia will be the contestants. In your email, please describe yourself, your fish tanks, and your favorite fish, and the career and location you live. You will have to be available on April 15th from 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific, and you will be on the show for 1 to 2 hours. So, would you like to be on the very first Aquatic Wetline Aquatic Trivia Game, where the first prize is sponsored by YourFishStuff.com, and the second prize is sponsored by Aquatic Wetline and Aqua Alex. So, there's a chance you can win a prize, so make sure you email AquaticWetline@outlook.com and become one of the 8 contestants.
This episode of the Aquatic Wetline has concluded. Aqua Alex thanks you for listening to his show. Please check out Aquatic Wetline Fish Keeping Podcast on Facebook and hit like for tropical fish facts and more. Feel free to reach Aqua Alex at aquaticwetline@outlook.com with any tropical fish questions. Your questions may make the show. Good night.